it's not a video.
No, just audio. Okay.
Hey, this is Thrasher.
And I'm Mosh. We're the Headbangers. And you're listening to the Wrestle Horror Show.
Podcast.
Is it still a show?
It's a podcast. It's not a show.
It's a podcast show.
There's no show. There's not seeing anything. It's a podcast. You're listening. Wrestle
you listen
Horror.
To a show?
You can't listen.
My great-grandmom did. She listened to shows.
Your great-grandma was weird.
I know.
Oh, Jesus.
So anyway,
just keep listening to the Wrestle Horror Podcast.
Ha ha ha.
Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Wrestle Horror.
Greetings, viewers and listeners. Meat Hook Jim here, the Wrestle Horror Podcast. With me, as always, I couldn't do this show without him, Donnie Hoover. Donnie, you're in your dungeon studio. What's going on, man?
Oh, yeah. Not a whole lot. Sitting here again with Pennywise behind me, but I'm thinking it might be getting close to the time that he goes bye-bye. I got a bunch of stuff like laying behind me on the floor, if I could show you, and I don't have room to put it anywhere. And then I got this bad boy for you and I that we need to find a spot for. Put it on there to show it off. It's the New Ohio Wrestling, or not New Ohio Wrestling, I'm sorry, the Wrestle Horror Championship.
And that belt is freaking amazing.
Oh, yeah. And
top of that, it's got Meat Hook Jim's face on it. It's got Shank Dorsey or Donnie Hoover, his face on it. This belt is awesome. Look at that. Isn't that awesome, man? For those of you listening, you have to come to see a show to see this belt.
Oh, yeah. And Sam even put me in a little Easter egg. I don't know if he caught him yet. But look over here. You know I suck at this backwards camera stuff. Right there, the machetes. Yeah. Machetes with blood, and I'm homage to my boy Jason Voorhees. So,
isn't that belt amazing? You showed me that the other day, and I about lost my mind when I saw it. It's like, wow, look at that belt.
Oh, yeah, it turned out great. But like I say, we got to find a spot behind me to put it up and display it. So, you know, like I say, he's a 6 foot tall animatronic. So you know he's just taking too much room in this little studio thing of mine, so he may have to go bye-bye.
You're gonna get a Jason animatronic back there,
whatever I can find one that I can afford. That's the key right there.
You can always just kidnap Kane Hodder and stick him back there for you.
There you go, have him hang out with me.
Yeah, but I think he might brutalize us just to get out of there. I don't know, what do you think?
I'm sure he would. It'd be cool to have him sit behind me doing choke, like the choke pick stuff while I'm trying to record. Well, I don't think I'd last very long. My neck would go turn purple.
You know what? We might have to try to get video of that. I mean, right now we've got plans to go to Scarefest in Lexington, Kentucky at the end of October, and Kane will be there. So maybe we might be able to get a little video of Kane choking at least one of us out, if not both of us.
Mm-hmm. It'd be cool if he was like doing a double choke with our belt around his waist, like doing a choke pick on doing us both at the same time while he's wearing the belt.
Right.
Wonder how that would turn out.
But Donnie, let's talk about our big show at Zucchini Fest on Labor Day in Obetz at Fortress Obetz. That's Obetz, Ohio, for those of you that aren't familiar. It was just an amazing introduction to the Zucchini Fest. And from all the feedback we've gotten, it looks like we're going to be back next year as well.
Yeah. Say it was our first time at the Zucchini Fest. And it was like you said, it was in Obetz, Ohio. And Obetz is actually my hometown, you know, where I've lived for 17 years now. So, it was legitimately like 3 to 4 streets over from my house, which was nice. And, like I said, that was one of our goals, was to get into the Zucchini Fest, because it gets bigger and bigger every year. And, you know, they have like they had Big and Rich there. They had, Ezra Ray Hart was there, a bunch of, some local bands. They have amusement park rides. They have, you know, a plethora of food trucks. They have the zoo. They have a circus come in. I mean, they make it like a big deal for the whole weekend, car shows and, you know, like the whole thing. And so we'd always, that would have been one of our goals. Cause back when I wrestled back in the day, they had it in a smaller section of Obetz. And I had actually wrestled. They used to do wrestling shows back in late 90s. And I had actually wrestled twice at the Zucchini Fest back in late 90s. So it was, you know, it was obviously a goal to get New Ohio there. And, you know, we've worked with the Arnold for numerous years now. We've worked with the Ohio State Fair, you know, one of the largest fairs in the country. But the Zucchini Fest was actually, you know, close to home for us. You know, it kind of hit us, you know, hit us in the heart. So we really enjoyed it. And, you know, we were nervous as all get out because, you know, we knew we would do, you know, our team always kills it. Everybody always does great. But I just wanted to impress, you know, the mayor, because the mayor was, you know, was supporting us. She had our back, and it was because of her that we got in there. So I didn't want to, you know, let her down, you know, because she was putting us over. And then apparently from what I had been hearing, as when we had been promoting the wrestling coming to the Zucchini Fest, and they had mentioned it on the radio a few times. And from what the lady that runs the Zucchini Fest told me was that we were causing like a bunch of buzz and stuff like that. And even, you know, as much as Big and Rich coming to town. So, you know, they said everybody's talking about the wrestling and everybody was excited for it. So I was like, you know, hey, we got to, you know, come in there and bring the goods, you know, we can't come in there and shit bed or whatever. So, but yeah, no, everybody loved it. And everybody had fun, you know, nobody got hurt. Everybody was safe. You know, a lot of great action. The fans was into it pretty much the whole show. We had to get a little, training session in there, because, you know, being it's a south end of Columbus, which is my peeps and I love them to death, like the first 2, 3, 4 matches they kept booing the, you know, the good guys and cheering for the bad guys, and we're like, no, you're doing it wrong, you know. So, you know, but that's just a south end for you, that's how we do, you know. so but, you know, other than that, it was a blast. And you know, the guy that runs the fortress, which is the facility with the, you know, where everything was, he pretty much just told me, because we did on, you know, we were only there one day. It was Friday through Monday. So it was 4-day festival, and we was only there Monday. And he told me that, you know, he said we pretty much took over the Zucchini Fest on Monday when we were there, and that the majority of the crowd that was at the Zucchini Fest was always around our area, you know, pretty much the whole day. And my Terry, she had went, because we had, you know, we'd had hundreds of people pretty much steady all day. You know, and Terry said she went to go get her and my daughter Rachel some food for lunch, and walked by the zoo section, and she said there was like 8 people at the zoo messing with the animals, and like everybody was over by the wrestling tent. So, I mean, like I said, it was a great event. You know, everybody was happy with it. They said, you know, they've already said they want us to come back. We're even, you know, I shouldn't mention it yet because we haven't even started the talks, but there has already been talks about us possibly joining with Obetz, you know, again to do a haunt, because they do a haunted house or a little haunted trail for Halloween, you know, for the town. And, you know, they have a bunch of cars line up and like a trunk or treat type of thing where they pass out candy, and it's, you know, there's a movie, like a scary movie plan, and you know, just like a little Halloween party out in the parking lot area, and they do a haunted house, like a little haunted house. So they had talked about, since we, you know, our background with the haunted trail and, you know, and us in the haunt industry, about coming in and helping them set up, you know, the haunted house and start doing their haunted house for them. So, I mean, like I said, we haven't even sat down for the first talk about that. So nothing's set in stone. It was just, you know, they offered to sit down and talk. We accepted. That's kind of where it's at. So we got to sit down, see what they're looking for, see if we're even able to do it. You know, cause like I said, I'm working with Carnage this year, and you know, I'll be working with them for years after that. So we'll have to see, you know, how it all turns out. But I mean, yeah, they were pleased with everything, and they want us to come back for wrestling. And, you know, they're interested in talking to us about coming in and doing the haunt for them. So I'd say we made a good impression on them.
Well, I know that at one point in time during the show, I was approached by you, and I was told to tone it down a little bit.
Yeah, we had some haters, I guess, some vendors. Yeah. Well, I guess the music was too loud, and the announcing was too loud, and you were yelling too loud, and And apparently they didn't like it, which, you know, Big Tom from War, he came down and helped us because we had our DJ had to cancel on us at the last minute, unfortunately. And he stepped up like he always does and drove down from Lima and bailed us out with, you know, the sound and stuff. And he said that that's happened to him at fairs and festivals before when they're drawing the crowd away. And he said that he says, you know, it could possibly be too loud to where it was messing with other people's things. But he said most likely it was they were, you know, little envious or a little upset because everybody was over by our tent and not theirs. So they were kind of complaining. But I mean, yeah, whether it was or not, who knows, who cares, you know, we just kept turning it down until they, you know, they was at an acceptable level.
Which, you know, quite frankly, I didn't notice the difference in the level myself, but
right.
He's on the microphone and kudos to Big Tom. You know, thank you so much for coming out there. It's a good thing that you brought our wireless mics, which really helped.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In that respect. And, you know, hey, I'm going to announce I get excited, so I might yell a little bit louder than normal.
Nothing wrong with it.
I love New Ohio Wrestling. I love announcing for these people. And, you know, the haters are going to hate, but, you know, we were drawing the crowd, you know, and that's what we want to do. We want to draw the crowd. We want them to see New Ohio Wrestling and all the amazing talent we have.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, like I said, it was definitely, you know, every indie wrestling show has its challenges. But this one, you know, and like I said, we've done 2-day, 16-hour events at the Arnold. And you know, we've had our quirks on that. But it seemed like this one, it was like one thing after another was happening. Like we had four wrestlers had to back out on us for different reasons. The day before Zucchini Fest, our DJ had to back out on us. Yeah, you know, had other stuff there. They couldn't make it. The morning of, our cameraman, the one that films the entire event, was doing a film. It was, you know, he does filming for a living, and he was in West Virginia and dropped a camera case on his foot and hurt his foot, he said. So he couldn't make it. So, you know, we didn't have our camera guy. We didn't have our sound guy. We had four wrestlers back out. But, you know, just, I mean, that's just indie wrestling. That's the way it works. But, you know, Big Tom stepped up for the sound and bailed us out. You know, we brought our own mics and that helped that. You know, then we had, you know, everybody stepping up and with their, you know, their phones and their iPads and, you know, Mark brought his camera and, you know, we were just doing what we could and we got, you know, plenty of footage and stuff. We're starting to piece it all together. And then, you know, of course, you know, we found, you know, wrestlers to replace the ones that were, you know, unable to make it. And it ended up all working out, you know, the show went smooth, you know, with all the quirks and, you know, like none of the crowd had any idea that all this was going on, that we were scrambling like that. And that's the way we, you know, we like it. That's just, you know, that's just part of the business. You know, you got to adapt and adjust and everything else.
The crowd definitely had no idea of all the issues we were having, and they really enjoyed the show. And, you know, kudos to Sean Bossman for taking up the iPad and really walking around and getting some great footage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he didn't know what he was going to end up doing. And, you know, I appreciate him for that.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Even Terry, she was just doing Facebook lives and taking her cell phone out doing Facebook lives. Cause that's, we just worked with what we had, you know, but it all worked out.
But you know, what an amazing card we had too, you know, I mean,
mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm looking at the card right now. We had 11 matches, 11 matches. That was, and we went way over 3 hours. It was probably what, 3.5, close to 4 hours.
It was a little over three. Yeah. We had to cover 3 hours. And so, you know, normally a 2.5 hour wrestling show is anywhere between 6-7 matches. So I figured we got another half hour to kill. And if we went over, I'm sure they wouldn't mind, you know? And so I just, you know, we just picked 11 as our number. And, you know, like I said, hopefully, you know, because if a couple matches ended up going short, you know, then we could, you know, adjust and we'd have an extra match or whatever, just so, you know, we'd had more than enough. And then we, like I said, we didn't really miss time too much. I think we're, like you said, we were maybe 15-20 minutes over, you know, and so, yeah, we really timed it out pretty good for what we had to deal with no intermission, you know, and so we didn't give you a break from yelling at everybody.
No, you didn't. And my voice started to wane towards the end. But I also forgot to mention to you what I was going to do with the kids with Onyx. And you know, everybody's looking at me because I got like 10 kids in the ring for Onyx's match. And I didn't ask for 10 kids. It's my wife's fault.
What, Chris, do something over the top? No.
For a couple of kids, and she brought me 10.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm looking at her going, what are you doing to me here?
Yeah, actually, I didn't get to see like most of the show because, you know, when shows are going on, I'm back and forth here and there, taking care of putting out all the fires and doing everything. But that was the part where my daughter and Terry went to go get some lunch. So I was sitting at the table covering for my daughter. And I didn't know, like I said, we have, you know, we had earpieces and walkie talkie so we can all communicate when we need to and all that. So we're sitting there and I see all these kids getting in the ring and I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. Maybe they just want to get a picture. And then it kept going on. And then like Ripper and them started coming out and I see Peachy's just standing beside the ring. He didn't know what was going on. So I hit the mic and on the walkie talkies and I'm like, what in the hell is going on here? And he was just like, I wish I knew. It's like, we had no idea.
I looked at John Orlando and he's doing this. He's come on, Jim, let's go. Like, you know, sorry, I forgot to mention it to you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, your intention was just to have one kid come in to announce Onyx because he's, you know, yeah, he's the Kids and Teens Expo champ. And like you said, it ended up like 10, 15 kids in the ring. And it's like,
yeah, that's my wife's fault.
That's all right. She goes above and beyond.
She really did. You know, she loves trying to help out and everything. And, you know, like I said, what an amazing card we had, you know. You know, our opening match was Damian Chambers versus Tyler Vox. You know, Damian Chambers has really come into his own as a wrestler.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he's a heel. You know, everybody loves to hate him. But you know what? I can't deny his talent. That man, there's great things coming for him on the horizon, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And you can tell when there's wrestlers out there that just kind of has it. And you can tell when there's, you know, people that just don't. And he's one of those that you can look at. You know, he's got the look. He's got the talent. He's just got that it factor. So, yeah, I see big things from him down the road. And he's still kind of young in the business. He's only 2-3 years in. So, he's, you know, he's relatively, you know, still learning. But, you know, he'll definitely get there. And, you know, Tyler Vox, I'd seen a little bit of video on him and stuff, but I'd never seen him in action in person. So it was kind of neat to, you know, finally get to see him, you know, do his thing. And I was impressed with him as well. You know, it was a great match, I thought.
It was. And, you know, Damian, he's got some amazing trainers, including Impact Wrestling star Ace Austin. I mean, you know, that's great. And Ace isn't that old either. I mean, they're pretty close in age. So just to have somebody that's on TV and that really, I mean, he's been X Division champion at least twice. So Damian's got some great help in there in his avenue as he pushes forward in the indie scene. And I wouldn't be too surprised if somebody picks him up in the next couple of years.
Oh yeah. Especially with the, like you said, with the connections he's got and the, you know, the people he trains with and stuff, you know, cause he trains there and he also goes up north a little bit to Bone Crushers and stuff. And works out with those guys, and they got like Trey Miguel, they got CK3 and all that, or Crimson, I guess, not CK3, Crimson. But yeah, so he's got a lot of people he works with that has, you know, that are able to open doors for him and stuff.
Sure. He's I see big things for him, and I can't wait to watch his career progress.
Right.
And then let's talk about, you know, the prophet of pain, Amos. You know, Amos has really stepped it up since we started back up and come into New Ohio Wrestling. And he's quite a unique character. The prophet of pain is what he's called. And you know, I can see him doing that. And at this match, he went over with the Baker. Who fan favorite, you know, come on, let's talk about the Baker.
Oh yeah.
James the Baker Hickey. I mean, 260, his weight is 260 cupcakes. I mean,
and he comes out with a singlet covered in donuts.
He does. And he was throwing little stuffed donuts out to the fans.
Yeah.
Baker, always a fan favorite. He didn't win this time around, but you know, James Hickey, he's a great talent, and the fans love him.
Oh yeah, yeah. He always gets the crowd going. He loves getting there and dance it up and have fun and get the crowd having fun, and you know, that's what he does best. You know, and on top of he's a really good wrestler as well. And right. You know, like I said, I'm really happy with Amos' performance. You know, because like I said, my personal preference as a wrestling fan is I've always been a heel guy. Like, you know, we had talked about, you know, I've always been a horseman guy and all that. So, you know, you just to see, and you know, New Ohio wrestling, for some reason, I mean, we have, you know, the bad guys, but we don't have like any real like jerks, you know? And that's why I always liked about, like, you know, especially like Ole Anderson. Yeah, because right. He was not only mean and nasty, but he was just a jerk, you know. It's like he didn't give a crap, you know, he was just a jerk. And yeah, that's kind of what Amos, you know, he's just a jerk, you know, he doesn't care. He says whatever's on his mind. He doesn't care if he offends anybody. And, you know, and he's always throwing schmuck around, which I think schmuck's just hilarious. I think it's a funny word. So, you know, so he's a welcome addition, you know, just a little bit, you know, a little bit the dark side of the little horror part of Donnie's Russell horror, you know, beginnings and happenings, you know, it appeals to Amos when he gets in the jerk mode like that.
Well, you know, speaking of jerk mode with Amos, on NOW 16 Sunday Showdown, what are we, three?
Mm-hmm. Yep, did a third one.
He is going to actually be wrestling Onyx for the Arnold Sports World Kids and Teens Expo Championship.
Yeah. Yeah. He's proven himself worthy of a shot, and Onyx has been, you know, letting anybody that's, you know, asked for a shot at to he's granted them with open arms, and he never, you know, wavers from a challenge. And Amos, you know, throwed that challenge down, and Onyx said, yeah, let's do it. You know, so we're going to see.
Amos has got his work cut out for him with Onyx. I mean,
oh yeah, a
big size difference, but don't sell Amos short. He's crafty.
Yeah, his speed and his nastiness could, you know, it'll take him a lot further than people could, you know, realize.
Right. So I can't wait to see what happens with that match. But let's go on. Let's talk about the next New Ohio Wrestling Tag Team Tournament qualifying match.
Mm-hmm.
We have the Dominican Hercules, Luis Casanova, and Theo Strong versus the Odyssey.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Odyssey is a team we really haven't seen a lot of before now. And, you know, we're familiar with Luis Casanova and Theo Strong, but somehow the Odyssey pulled out the win. How did that happen?
Right. Yeah. I was definitely surprised about that one. Yeah, I said the Odysseys, they've been around a little while, you know, they've worked, you know, some promotions around the area and stuff, you know, so they're no newcomers, you know, they know what they're doing, but yeah, we're definitely at a disadvantage size wise with, you know, Theo and Luis, you know, probably being twice their size and stuff. But and it just goes to show you, like we just talked about with Onyx and Amos, you know, size doesn't always matter, you know, strength doesn't always matter. You know, like I said, I don't know. Like I said, if I was a betting man, which I am, but if I had to bet on this match, I'd have definitely went with Luis and Theo, but somehow the Odyssey pulled it off. And, you know, they advanced to the next round of the tournament against Warhorse. So now they got two more big guys they got to try to topple.
Right. And, you know, the Odyssey really, really surprised me. I love the way they work together. Don't get me wrong. I mean, they're so much smaller than Casanova and Strong, but they really, I mean, they took them to the limit, and ultimately they moved forward in the tournament. So
mm-hmm. Yeah.
I give kudos for that.
Oh yeah. And another thing I can, you know, we can add to that is, you know, the Odyssey's been wrestling together as a tag team for a while now. So they, like you said, they work great together. They know what each other's doing. And as for Luis and Theo, this was the first time they had tagged together. And yeah, to be honest, I actually thought they looked great together. I mean, they, you know, they look great. They're both size wise. You know, they both had the look, you know, the looks kind of were similar and matched. And yeah, so I think they'll be a great tag team, you know, coming down the road here.
Well, I think if they had a little more time working together, the outcome might have been different.
Oh yeah, I think so. Yep.
So hopefully we'll see more of Casanova and Strong in the future. Maybe they can gel that tag team together and you know, make things happen.
Oh yeah, I'm sure they will. Like I said, they for their being their first time working together, they held their own for sure.
Definitely. And you know, we even had some women, women wrestling on the show, which is something that, you know, we've tried to, sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't, but on this show, we actually had a couple of female matches. And the first match we had was the Extra Celestial Skylar O'Ryan versus the Black Widow Harley Fairfax. Both of them established wrestlers. Necessarily with New Ohio. They're new faces to New Ohio, but out there around the indie scene. And, you know, quite frankly, you know, Skylar won the match, but there was a lot of frustration with Harley because she showed a lot of strength and a lot of heart and somehow came up short.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd say it was both of their debuts. So I was really interested to see this match and see how it turned out. And she didn't pick up the win, and yeah, definitely there was some frustration on her part. And you know, cause she looked like she had the upper hand and was going to be able to pull it off. And it just wasn't to be. So yeah, there's something going on with her. We'll have to keep an eye on it. But yeah, she was definitely upset and frustrated after the match. And just a little funny side note about, we're talking about the women's matches, how we try them out, and just to see, you know, if they work or not. And they usually do. Women's wrestling is amazing. I'm a huge fan of women wrestling. And but they're like, you know, like I said, it was in my hometown. So I work in that area a little bit, you know, down the road. And one of the guys I worked with happened to be at the show. So when, you know, we went back to work the next week after the event, he came up to me and he was like, yeah, when that Skylar O'Ryan girl came out, he's like, every guy in the area, she had their attention. And I was like, yeah, she's a good looking girl. I said, but if she's got their attention, then that's good. That's the point. I was like, plus she's a damn good wrestler. You know, I was like, she can wrestle her ass off. And he's like, oh yeah. He's like, they did great. He said, but he's like, yeah, she definitely was turning heads. And I'm like, well, good. That's nice to hear. It just struck me kind of funny.
You know, I've seen Skylar wrestle many times with Future Great Wrestling down in Hamilton. Mm-hmm. And this was a new set of, I hadn't seen her in this ring gear that she wrestled at Zucchini Fest. And, you know, I got to say, you know, damn.
Yeah, I thought it was funny. Like out of the whole show, all the matches, that was like the first thing he said. And I was like, leave it up to the guys, you know.
Not sell Harley Fairfax short.
Oh, no, absolutely not.
Harley is an amazing talent. I've watched her for a couple of years now, and just because she lost this match doesn't mean that this is a trend. She's a very talented wrestler, and I see big things for her in the future as well.
Oh yeah, she's held, you know, many titles. I mean, she was, is she still the current war women's champion? I know she was.
I believe she is still the war.
Yeah, she's still the war champion. So yeah, she's a current champion. So yeah, she's definitely not a slouch at all.
No, not at all.
That match could have went either way.
It could have. It really didn't. And to see the frustration on Harley's face at the end of the match was like, okay, there's gears turning in there. What's going to happen next?
Right. Yeah, she, like I said, she didn't seem like she was on her game mentally there. There was something bugging her, you could tell.
Right. And the next match, this match really tickled, I'm going to say tickled the shit out of me. Okay.
Right.
This was supposed to be a one-on-one match. It turned into a three-way dance. And what got me the most on this match was the fact that the Golden Idol, in his infinite wisdom, has decided to give Brandon Fields the Temple of Terror championship when Jake Ely is a Temple of Terror champion. Me and the Golden Idol, we went back and forth in this in the ring. It's like, so I even told him, I said, so if Brandon doesn't show up and Jake doesn't show up, then I can be the Temple of Terror champion. And he says, no, you're too fat.
See, I wasn't around for that. I'd have popped for that one.
Says, you're too fat. We can't get the belt around you. I said, yeah, but if you don't have anybody else, then I can be your Temple of Terror champion.
Right. Wow. That seems like the logic behind it, doesn't it?
That's the logic, you know. But in this match, it was a three-way dance. Brandon Fields was defending the Temple of Terror championship against not only Carson Drake, who is an amazing heel. And, you know, his entrance took, what, 10 minutes?
Yeah.
and I didn't even need to announce him. He announced himself with his megaphone.
Right, yeah, and he didn't have entrance music.
<He's> like, right.
but thought that was funny.
But newcomer Saturn Price. Wow. I mean, he really had the crowd going. I mean, people were behind him 100% during this match.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he had him in the palm of his hand for sure. And like I say, you just never know who the crowd's going to attach themselves to, you know, who they're going to take to. And, you know, it just, he was one of the ones that they took to, and it was great.
And they did. And, you know, what, he's an amazing talent. I mean, a lot of great moves and, you know, close calls. And in the end, you know, Saturn Price technically won the Temple Terror of Championship, but again, the Golden Idol thinks that he can dictate when and when the belt changes hands, even though his guy loses.
Right. Well, I guess in their mind, like, you know, Brandon Fields didn't actually get pinned, so that's what they use for the excuse this time.
Always some excuse. Always some excuse. But Saturn Price, he's a talent to watch, and I look forward to seeing him again.
Yeah, definitely will. And just for reference, I mean, we've made mention before about the Ohio Pro Wrestling Academy, how they're working, you know, they're partnered with us now at the Now Training Center. And, you know, that's where basically their school is now. And Saturn Price is actually a recent graduate of Ohio Pro Wrestling Academy. He's only got a handful of matches under his belt, so he's relatively new. But yeah, he's coming out of the gate strong, you know. And speaking of strong, actually Theo Strong, same thing. You know, he came from Ohio Pro Wrestling Academy just recently, and he's only had a handful of matches. So, you know, some promising talents coming out of this camp, you know, and I'm excited to see it.
Well, kudos to James Avery, because I would not have guessed that Saturn Price was a recent graduate the way he was wrestling.
Yeah. Yeah. He's only got, I don't know how many exactly, but he hasn't been wrestling but a year, maybe. You know, just a handful of matches under his belt. So, yeah, like I said, they're doing good. You know, they're cranking out some good talent.
He was really over with the crowd, and it was just an amazing match. I'm sorry he didn't get the Temple of Terror championship like he should have.
Right.
But, you know, great. I can't wait to see him in the future with that.
Did 2020 take its toll on your fitness? Well, body slam the pandemic and get back in shape with WrestleFit. This innovative program combines all the fitness regimens you'll need to reach your goals. The WrestleFit workout will bring strength training, cardio, and the world of professional wrestling together in a fun, new, and exciting way. Have yourself a blast working out with dumbbells, kettlebells, slam balls, ropes, tires, and an 18-foot full-size wrestling ring. The WrestleFit workout isn't just for pro wrestlers. The WrestleFit workout is for everybody. At the Now Training Center, you can pursue your fitness goals and learn how to train like a professional wrestler without all the bumps, bruises, and slams with the WrestleFit workout. Go to www.newohiowrestling.com/training for more information, or stop by the Now Training Center at 625 Eastgate Parkway, Blacklick, Ohio, 43004, Unit 6137.
Let's talk about Warhaus. Warhaus, you know, they survived the first round of the tournament. And now they went up against Justin Xavier and Chuck the Truck. And Chuck, I love Chuck the Truck. He just needs to find the right tag team partner.
Yeah, I thought he had it with that first round match when he had Cody Hawk on his team. I was like, yeah, this will be a good combination. And, you know, like I said, Warhaus is just, you know, Warhaus are mean and nasty and strong and big. And, you know, they ended up getting the win. And, you know, yeah, I mean, Chuck, you know, Chuck specializes in tag team wrestling. You know, that's kind of like his bread and butter. He's just got to find that right combination. You know, like I said, I'm sure he'll get there eventually, you know, or either that, or he may just, you know, go back to singles and just start concentrating on his singles career again. You know, we'll just have to see where that leads.
Well, Chuck, you know, I've been watching Chuck since I started announcing for you. And he's a great talent, but he is a tag team specialist. like you said, it's just he's got to get that right partner.
Mm-hmm.
And that's nothing against Cody Hawk.
Oh, no, absolutely. Yeah.
Cody's amazing. And, you know, with Justin Xavier, he's an amazing high-flying talent.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that Warhorse was better.
Yeah, it's just Warhorse is Warhorse, yeah.
Right. And then this match was unexpected because it was supposed to be completely different from this. But we had Big Jake Shepherd versus Eric Smalls, the half-pipe punk.
Mm-hmm.
And Eric came out to a huge pop from the crowd.
Oh, yeah. Everybody, he always does. He gets over anywhere he goes.
And to see him up against Big Jake Shepherd. Now, mm-hmm. for those of you that know Meat Hook Jim, I'm 6'4". I'm on the lower side of 300 pounds, and Jake's bigger than me.
Yeah, yep. He's a big fella.
He's probably got at least 50, if not 100 pounds on me.
Mm-hmm.
But Eric Smalls, you know, the half pint punk, it was funny. It was a hilarious match. You know, mm-hmm. Eric comes out. Jake starts yelling at Josh, the referee, about him being the Keebler elf.
Yeah.
and then Eric tosses out a couple of cookies for Jake. Jake bends over to get the cookies and he gets a foot in the you know what.
Right. A little down under the belt, you know, below the belt action.
Right. And it was back and forth, and somehow Eric pulled off the win. But before that happened, I got to tell you this. I don't know if you heard this or not, Donnie, but there was a couple of fans sitting next to me and my wife, because Chris was down there timekeeping, and right next to Chris were these fans. And this little girl goes, "Oh my God, is Jake going to eat Eric?"
He probably could have.
and you know, Chris looked at her and said, "I don't know. He might." But somehow Eric pulled off the win with Big Jake Shepherd.
Yeah, and, as I said, Jake, I think Jake might have, you know, done himself in with that. He tried to do that Vader bomb, you know, Eric moved out of the way, and, you know, number one, number two, it looked like he landed a little weird, so I'm pretty sure he, like, knocked the wind out of himself, and then, yeah, that gave Eric the opportunity to get up there for that moonsault he does, and I think he surprised all of us. I honestly didn't think he was going to beat Jake Shepherd.
Things can happen at any time.
The crowd loved it, though. That was like the biggest reaction of the day.
It was. And let's talk about our second female match of the night or the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And we had Lena Lennox, who's new to New Ohio Wrestling, but not new to pro wrestling.
Right.
Versus Zoe Sky, who's always a fan favorite.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. A lot of high flying going on. And, you know, the way we had the ring oriented in the ring, you had it set up to where people could only work from certain corners, but that mm-hmm. didn't stop Zoe from working every corner.
Oh, no. Yeah, she's a little tiny thing. And we had to, like, diamond shape the ring because of the tent we were in. You know, right. It was a little lower than we had hoped. So we had to diamond shape it to where they could get up on the top ropes on two of the corners. But yeah, she's so tiny, she could get up on all four, no problem. So she was all over the place.
And you know, in the end, Zoe went over. It was an amazing match between her and Lena. But mm-hmm. let's talk about something else. Lena Lennox.
Mm-hmm.
This past Monday, AEW Dark Elevation.
Yep.
Had Lena Lennox in a match.
Mm-hmm. Yep, Lena Lennox, Penelope Ford, yeah. And she held her own for a little while. She did great.
She did. I was thrilled to watch that and to see Lena. You know, of course, she came out on the losing end, but, you know, the bunny out there, you know, it's a little...
Mm-hmm.
Lena did do great, and I'm looking forward to seeing her again on some future shows, and... hopefully we can see her get over, or, you know, I see big things for her as well, especially getting the opportunity to wrestle on AEW.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, a lot of the ladies that we're familiar with, you know, made their appearances on that show. You know, Shauna Reed was on there. Queen Aminata was on there.
Yes. You know,
so it was a good showing for the locals in our area.
It was. I sat down and watched it all last night. You know, Queen Aminata, who was, of course, her and Eric Smalls were the very first match I ever announced for you.
Mm-hmm.
I'll never forget that, just because it was those two.
Right.
And then Shauna, I haven't had a chance to announce for yet, but I see Shauna quite a bit at FGW. And as a matter of fact, right now, Shauna Reed and Amos are the FGW Tag Team Champions.
Yes, I've seen that. Congrats to both of them.
And Shauna is also in line. She's the number one contender for the FGW title.
Nice.
So we'll see what happens with that soon. She's going to have to go up against Matt Taylor.
Oh, that'll be fun.
Next, actually.
Yeah.
you know, our next match was the Guiding Light, Matthew Taylor, from the Bible Belt, versus the Trainer of Champions, Cody Hawk. And these two have had a storied history.
Oh, yeah. They've been going multiple promotions, you know, many months. This has been going on now. These two are just, you know, just don't like each other.
Back and forth in, you know, in war wrestling and New Ohio wrestling and FGW. These two are going after each other in whatever promotion they can get into.
Right. Yeah, and it's back and forth. You know, they're both picking up wins over each other, you know, and, you know, it just doesn't seem like neither one's kind of, you know, getting the upper hand on each other. And I think that's what's dragging on. Like, you know, one will win and the other will win, and one will do something, the other will do something. And it's the hatred just keeps building.
Well, you've got the Guiding Light, Matthew Taylor, who's a veteran of the sport. And of course, Cody Hawk, 25 plus years, Trainer of Champions. You know, he's trained John Moxley, Sammy Callahan, LA Knight, Shauna Reed.
Uh-huh.
It's back and forth with them, unfortunately on this case, Matt Taylor went over.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he got the win on him.
He did, but you know, I don't think this is over between him and Cody by a long shot.
Oh no, not at all. They're going to pick up and keep going, you know, somewhere else and somebody else's promotion. You know, it's going to happen. They may even, you know, do it again in New Ohio. Who knows with these two?
Yeah, and I've watched them go toe to toe several times in FGW, and it's always it's a seesaw. It's a Matt wins, Cody wins, but lately, you know, Matt Taylor has pulled out all the stops to keep the FGW championship. So.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see what happens with Matt and Cody in the future.
Oh yeah, I'm sure. Like I said, I'm sure this won't be the last time we talk about them.
Oh no. And then let's talk about the title match, the Arnold Sports World Kids and Teens Expo champion Onyx.
Mm-hmm.
It's Brutal Tommy Irish. This match lived up to Brutal Tommy Irish's name. It was a brutal match.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Two big guys, two strong guys. You know, Tommy Irish, one half of the family with Gino DiCapo. And, yeah, they're nasty. They're mean. And then, you know, that brings out, you know, the nasty and meanness in Onyx. Just like he said in his, you know, his interview before the match or before the show, you know, that where they attacked him at the last, you know, show we had with them where he was wrestling Gino, you know, they attacked him after the match, and he said it's bringing out a side of Onyx that they haven't seen yet. And yeah, you know, like you said, it was just a brutal match, you know, just nasty.
It was. And you know, Onyx, I saw a side of Onyx that kind of scared me.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know, I love Onyx. I love watching him wrestle. He's a powerful wrestler, but what I saw with him against Tommy Irish was a little frightening, because he was a little more brutal than I'm used to seeing him, but he had to get his point across to Tommy Irish.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I think he did. And the bad thing about it is I still don't think that's done either. Cause I think Tommy Irish is too thick headed, and you know, then they got Ripper Blackheart in their ear, and Ripper's never happy until he gets what he wants, you know? So.
Yeah. Ripper in that shoe.
What's we're gonna have to look at that shoe. I bet this looks like there's something in it.
That shoe's got to be loaded. I mean, it just, there's got to be like a lead ball or something in there. It's just, that shoe comes into play way too much.
Right.
But, yeah, Ripper, he's a manager of champions. And he's looking for more gold. So,
yeah.
You never know what Ripper's going to do. And he's going to do anything he can to make sure that he gets gold.
Oh, yeah. That's why I say I have a feeling that this isn't over with those guys.
And let's talk about the main event. I mean, first of all, Robbie Starr. The show, Robbie Starr.
There you go. You'll hear about it if you don't say it right.
I'll hear about it, but he's been kind of ducking NOW management.
Yeah, like I say, we've had some problems with him, just like say with his attitude and his ego. Just, you know, for our smaller shows, Sunday Showdowns, just for some reason, he just, you know, feels like he's too good to do these events, you know, just because they're in a smaller setting, you know, like a little studio type setting. And, you know, so he's, you know, ducking and dodging, and, you know, he didn't show up to the first two, and then he showed up to the Zucchini Fest because we kind of said, you know, either you show up or we're going to, you know, there's going to start being some repercussions. So they showed up, and then because of the finish of the match, you know, now they got their legal team involved, neither Robbie nor Ripper, either one is going to be at this Sunday Showdown. Mm-hmm. And neither one of them showing up. So they got their legal counsel involved. They're talking to our people, and yeah, of course they're complaining. It's total nonsense, obviously. You know, it's just them, you know, it's just Ripper being Ripper again and Robbie being Robbie. But he's hard to deal with. He's not fun to deal with, that's for sure.
Well, he's definitely doing everything he can to hang on to the title without actually having to defend the title.
Right. Yeah, he's trying to find every loophole he can, you know.
And you know, how many more loopholes can he find before you know, either the New Ohio Wrestling Management says, okay, we're done with you, or somebody beats him legitimately. I mean,
right.
But of course, with Ripper in the corner, that's going to be difficult because, you know, Ripper's always got something up his sleeve.
Mm-hmm. Or the shoe, as we talked about.
Right, the shoe in this case. But I really think you should have the referee check that shoe before the match, because I think that shoe's loaded.
Yeah, there's, like you said, he uses it way too often for it to just be a normal dress shoe.
Right. And the last time I saw that shoe hit somebody in the head, I thought I heard a loud thunk, which shouldn't happen with a regular shoe.
Right.
But, you know, Marion Fontaine, the world's finest semi-pro wrestler, should have walked out with the New Ohio Championship.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, and like I said, this isn't the first match these two have had in New Ohio Wrestling either. Right. You know, they've had a storied history as well, you know, maybe not as extensive as Cody and Matt Taylor, this isn't the first time they've, you know, danced together. And it's always like when they both get in the ring against each other, it seems like always something screwy happens. And, you know, it comes out in the favor of Robbie somehow. I don't know how he does it.
Well, you know, that has to do with Ripper, because Ripper knows how to work his crew. You know, he's got his talent, and he knows how to work them, and he knows how to manipulate the system to keep Robbie holding the belt. But how long is that going to hold up?
Right. Yeah, time's ticking, I'm assuming. I have a feeling.
So, you know, that's the card for Zucchini Fest. And you know, what an amazing show overall, you know, drawing everybody, and the crowd was amazing. I mean, it really was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And yeah, like I said, with the crowd, we've never heard, like, even not, you know, we talked about how the Obet staff and stuff like that was happy with what we did. The fans were just as equally happy. You know, we've never heard anything negative yet so far. And we actually had a vendor, Buckeye guy, was there. Yeah, he's a super fan of Ohio State, you know, Buckeyes. You know, some people like him, some people don't. He's controversial in his own right. But, you know, his handler was came over to us personally, and because their vendor area was just a little bit, you know, away from ours, so they could see what we were doing. And the guy came up to me, I guess he had come up and talked to all the, like, was telling all the wrestlers this. And then Jimmy McDowell, he told Jimmy McDowell, and Jimmy McDowell brought him over to talk to me because he wanted me to hear it. And this, the guy said that he'd been a vendor at fairs and festivals and all this and that for over 26 years. And he said he's been at the Ohio State Fair for 26 years as a vendor. And he said throughout his, you know, years, he's been to, you know, so many fairs and festivals, he can't even count anymore. And he said, you know, hands down, there's no question it's asked that our wrestling show was the best wrestling show he's seen at a fair or festival. He said just the way, the professionalism of it, the look of the wrestlers, the crowd reaction responses, the quality of the matches. And he felt so strongly about it that he was seeking us out, you know, to tell us this. So I was really taken back by that. I took that as a huge compliment. And, you know, somebody that's been around the festival and fair game for that, you know, for almost three decades, saying that that's the best wrestling show at a fair festival he's ever seen, you know, is a huge compliment. And, you know, I, like I said, I was taken back by it, and it just shows us that, you know, shows me that what we're doing is right. You know, we're on the right track.
That's an amazing kudos, man. And for New Ohio Wrestling, that's, wow. I mean, I'm speechless at this point. I didn't know this until now.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd like to say it was about, we were about maybe eight or nine matches in when he, you know, found me and told me that. And I was just like, yeah, it's like you, I was just like, wow. I was like, thank you. You know, it just, you know, makes it seem like all the hard work is worth it when you hear stuff like that from people, you know?
And let's not forget, you know, we've also got to mention one of our partners who had a table at our tent, which was Carnage Haunted House.
Oh yeah. 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 Carnage was there. And, I love it when they come there because they always bring candy and set it out on the table. So I did, even though I got that diabetes stuff, you know, I did sneak over to the table and snatch me up some candy every now and again. I ain't gonna lie. And I got my green icy. I had to wait till the end of the show, but I got it.
But we had, you know, at Carnage, we had Mia and Jason and Melanie and, you know, a few other people from Carnage. And they were getting a lot of feedback, too, at the table. It was right there next to the booth.
Oh, yeah.
Next to the tent. And, you know, and that kind of flows into wrestle horror because we were wrestling and we had the horror sitting right there.
Oh yeah. So, yeah. And Mia had a blast. She, like I said, she's not the biggest wrestling fan, but she does like wrestling a little bit, you know, and she was like she had so much fun. And like when Jake Shepherd and Eric Smalls was wrestling, she had her phone out and was recording them, and she was just laughing. She was having a blast, you know? So yeah, all of them had a good time. They all, you know, seemed to enjoy themselves, and, you know, they got to push the Carnage name out there, for which, you know, actually starts up this coming Friday this week. So, which it'll be past, you know, when you hear this on Monday, it'll be this past weekend. So the Carnage Haunted House will be open when you do hear this. So, come out and see us. And, but yeah, like I said, they was there, they had fun. I got some candy, got a couple hugs, you know, and yeah, so it's all good.
Man, I got a couple hugs too, you know.
That's a great thing about wrestling and haunting, you know, like I said, they're both of them are, you know, like one big family, you know? So we actually got two families. We got our wrestling family and we got our haunt family. So it's kind of neat.
It is. And I like that. And the fact that Wrestle Horror has all those combined.
Mm-hmm.
So, wow. I mean, Zucchini Fest was a huge success.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I know that Terry was talking about other places that we're trying to get in on.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a couple other places that she's got her eye on, and it's a goal of hers. And so we're going to try to, you know, work on there and get in there. And, you know, we'd like to start hitting the fair and festival market a little harder than we have been. You know, like I said, we got the Arnold, we got the Ohio State Fair, and now we got the Zucchini Fest. So, yeah, there's some more out there that we're going to reach out to and see if we can't make something happen. You know, if we could line our whole summer and spring, summer and fall, I don't care, with, you know, fair and festival shows, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, it would be, definitely. It's a win, you know, and what we've got going now, just
it's nice to be able to get back into the swing of things after the pandemic, which is still going on.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, being able to do shows and everything, and the Now Nation has just been amazing, you know, not only with the Zucchini Fest, but at our, but our house shows at the training center. Each one of those has been sold out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure this one will be sold out. This next one on October 3rd will be sold out as well.
Yeah, I'm assuming it will be. I say the way things are looking, it will be.
I have no doubts. And that, actually, I've got a coworker that has never been to a wrestling show ever.
Uh-oh.
He's a young man. He's like 18 years old. He works in the warehouse where I work. And he asked me to give him information. So I'm going to give him information. He's going to come up and watch this show. So I might give him a hard time when he comes to the show.
Hey, there you go. Got to break him in right.
Right. So, you know, before we close out the show, Donnie, I mean, you got anything else to say? Because this just, we've been going on for quite a while now, because it was just such an amazing show that we're very pleased with it. And you know, we just wanted to get out to everybody.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, actually, I think we covered it all. I just, you know, I wanted to report back to, you know, to see, you know, let everybody know how it went, you know, in case for those that was wondering. And, you know, like I said, the support's been amazing. You know, everything, like I said, even with all the issues we had, you know, you're going to have that on any wrestling show. You got to learn how to pivot. You got to learn how to think on your toes, just like Big Tom at War. He says you got to have plans A through Z and 1, 2, 3, which I always thought that was kind of funny and clever. And, but he's true, you know, and, you know, you always got to have a backup plan. You always got to have something in your hip pocket for when something goes wrong. And we had a lot of somethings go wrong, and we, you know, we adapted and pivoted. And like I said, at the end of the day, the crowd didn't know any less, and it was an amazing show. Everybody brought it like they always do. And yeah, that's why I love the people we work with, you know, because, you know, even if you're not a member of Now, and, you know, you still, you know, when we need you, you, they step up, they come in there and bring it, just like, you know, for like, I bring it up again, Big Tom with the music, you know, he's War Wrestling, you know, up in Lima. He has nothing to do with New Ohio, except for we're, you know, we're friends and we've known each other forever. And, you know, he helps me and I help him. We do what we can. So, yeah, I mean, he immediately stepped up and, you know, bailed us out when we needed him. So, yeah, just, you know, the people that we surround ourselves with, I'm just pleased with. And, you know, I couldn't ask for anything more. And, you know, everybody did great. You know, like I said, we got raving reviews all across the board. I haven't heard one negative comment except for our music being too loud and our microphones being too loud. But, you know, you'll have that. We got to get the right settings. You know, it's all a learning thing. You know, you got to get them adjusted right. But yeah, like I said, I think we covered it all. I was super pleased, and I can't wait to do it again next year.
Well, I still think it was just a little bit of haters because of what we were doing. But
oh yeah, you'll have it. Well, they'll hate us next year too. Well, that is what it is.
if we're drawn, hey,
all right.
Our fault. We're doing our job.
Yep, that's right. We're doing what they're paying us to do. So, you know, maybe they need to step up their game, you know?
Right.
Maybe they bring in some giraffes or some dinosaurs or something.
A dinosaur might do us in.
Right. Oh, I'd probably leave the show to go see that.
But with that being said, Donnie, amazing show. I'm repeating myself. I know I am, but you know, I can't wait for the next show. And for those of you listening, October 3rd,
mm-hmm.
Training Center, 3 p.m. Go to newohiolive.com if you want tickets. We've only got 50.
Yep, I say we're cramped in there, studio, old television studio style. So yeah, once we fill those seats up, we can't do nothing. You know, last time we had the overhead door open and people sitting out in the parking lot watching through the door, you know, and people standing around, you know, we can only do what we can do. So yeah, you know, there's not many to go.
And we got to be careful because the fire marshal came around.
Yeah, you know. Right. That's weird how that happened on that day, huh?
Isn't it? You know,
that's coincidence.
newohiolive.com for tickets. Sunday Showdown 3, New Ohio Wrestling at the Now Training Center, 3 p.m. Make sure you get your tickets early before they sell out. You will see myself. I will be in some kind of ring announcer regalia up in the ring. I don't know what I'm going to wear yet, but I'm kind of leaning towards, I was talking to my wife and I'm thinking I'm doing like a seasonal thing. So I might have some kind of Halloween theme going on in October with my suit.
There you go. That sounds like a great idea.
You know, Donnie will be there running the show and running around with a chicken, like his, with a chicken with his head cut off. Well,
mm-hmm. That's what I do.
All the wrestlers are doing their bit and I'll be up there announcing and we're going to have a little fun with the Golden Idol, I think.
Oh yeah. It's always fun messing with him.
Interacting with him is always interesting when it comes to wrestling. And I can't wait to see what he and I do next, because you know, the Golden Idol, he just tries to be the top dog, and sometimes we have to take him down a peg or two.
Mm-hmm. Right? Oh yeah, everybody needs that every now and again.
But with that being said, my name is Meat Hook Jim with my co-host Donnie Hoover. You know, another amazing show, and we look forward to more. Thanks for listening and watching. Check us out on WrestleHorror.com mm-hmm. and all our social media outlets at WrestleHorror. And you'll hear this at the end of the show as well, but I'm going to plug it anyway.
All right.
We can do that because we own it.
Yeah.
Again, Meat Hook Jim, Donnie Hoover, Wrestle Horror Podcast. We'll catch you on the next episode.
See you guys.
Thanks for listening. Make sure you follow us on all of our social media outlets. Facebook.com/WrestleHorror. Instagram @WrestleHorror. Twitter @WrestleHorror. On YouTube at the Wrestle Horror Channel. And you can also find us on our website, www.WrestleHorror.com.